Well, just like Ben said, summer is upon us, and the way that I actually know summer is here is I look down at these teenagers, and there's a bunch of dudes that buzz their hair and just bleach blonde dyed their hair, getting ready for summer camp, I guess. Hey, just want to give you a little advice. If you really want to stand out at camp, just do it, man. It'll grow back, I promise. I don't know, but this is what real men do, okay? They buzz or they shave their head. But, man, I hope you guys have had a great summer. Man, I'm excited about today's message. We're going to be in Psalm 139. So if you have your Bibles, you can go ahead and turn there. And if you missed our sermon from last week, whether you're in this room or you're online right now, please go to our YouTube channel and watch our first sermon in this new sermon series called The Heavens and the Hidden. Last week, what we did is we looked up at the night sky, and what we saw was honestly just pretty staggering. We looked at the multitude of the stars. We looked at galaxies. We looked at distances and scale that you and I, honestly, we cannot comprehend. And what we saw is a God that is bigger than we have ever even imagined and who can handle your worst day. A God who can handle your biggest problems that you look at in your life and they just seems like it is the biggest thing and is overwhelming. God is bigger than all of that. Last week, we used telescopes to look up in the night sky, and today, we're going to actually look down through microscopes, okay? And so, look, I'm not a scientist here, and I get it. Some of you guys look at this, you're like, oh, it's kind of scary to think about science class again. But honestly, both the telescope and the microscope, what they do is they both lead to worship of God. Because the same God who flung 10 octillion stars into the night sky is the same God who designed and built 30 trillion cells in your body. Reminds me of this passage that we're going to look at today, Psalm 139. So again, if you have your Bibles, turn there. We're going to kind of hang out here for today, look at several verses. But let me read to you the very first two. Here's what the Bible says. David writing this psalm, so it's kind of like a poem that he turns into a song, and he writes it in this conversation style to God. Here's what he says. God, you made all the delicate inner parts of my body, and you knit them, and you knit me together in my mother's womb. Thank you. So there's this moment of worship. Thank you for making me so wonderfully complex. Your workmanship is marvelous. How well I know it. So, hey, here's the thing. There's biology in the Bible. Now, that might give some of you guys a little bit of anxiety thinking about maybe you failed biology class. We're not going to have biology class today. It is summer, so there will be no quiz. So you can just relax, all right? But we're gonna look at some things that God has created today. And I hope that you see something. At first, I hope you see that there is a God who is a rational God. There is a God who created you with purpose, that he, as the Bible says, he knit you together with careful complexity. And honestly, when we get to see some of the things we're going to see today, I believe it's going to blow every one of our minds. I hope also that you see that through today's message that you are not an accident, okay? You are not meaningless. If you're taking notes today, the big point for today is that the God of reason created you for a reason. You have a purpose and you have great value. Let me explain to you just what God has done in creating you. Years ago, we had this idea of what a cell might be. We had this idea that it was just this glob of goo, and it was the simplest part of life. It was the building block of life. And honestly, we had no idea the intricacies of the actual human cell. If we were to take a deeper dive in with new technology today, we can see what's going on through a microscope. We can see what's going on in a human cell. And so I wanted to show you on the screen here a rendering of what actually they've realized what is going on in a human cell. All sorts of different functions happening. It's remarkably complex. It contains intricate interweaving, interlocking network of all those different things are protein machines. They're like a factory with thousands of workers, everyone working in unison so that your cells actually can have life, so that you can breathe, so that your heart beats, so that you can think, so you can live and walk and do everything that you normally do. That all those things are going on. A biology professor once stated that, look, if we looked into a human cell, we see a world of supreme technology and bewildering complexity which blows away anything produced by the intelligence of man. Isaiah kind of says the same thing. In Isaiah 45, verse 18, he says, "For the Lord is God, and he created the heavens and the earth, and he put everything in place." He put every single thing, everything you just saw on the screen, he put everything in place. He made the world to be lived in, and get this, not to be a place of empty chaos. There's order and function. And here's what God says, "I am the Lord, and there's no other." The scriptures state it, but also creation states it. But look, that is not the simplest we can get. We can get even, we can zoom in even more with microscopes today, and we can look into the center of that cell. What we find there is the nucleus of a cell, and we find your DNA. So here is an image of what's going on inside the nucleus of every single cell in your body is DNA happening in an incredible way. Your DNA of your body, it's a code that tells every single cell what to do. It's so compact, and yet it's so complex. If we were to stretch out the DNA in just one single cell of your body, it would stretch out for 6 feet. And all of the information, every single letter that's in that 1 6-foot strand of one cell, we could write 1,000 books with those letters. That's the amount of information in one single cell. If we were to stretch out all of your DNA, it would stretch out end to end 34 billion miles. You wanna know how far that is? That's the distance between us and the sun and back 200 times. That's how much information is in your body, in the nucleus, in the DNA. And look, it's not lifeless. As you see on the screen, it's moving. It's constantly, what's happening is these protein molecules are constantly reading your DNA. They're these microscopic machines. And what they're doing is they're unzipping your DNA. They're splitting it in half. That's reading it. It's creating it and copying it millions of times every single second. That's what's happening in your body. And that kind of seems kind of overwhelming, like a lot of stuff is happening. And some of us, we have a hard time. I mean, it's early in the morning, okay? Some of us have a slow start to the morning. But we get up, and now I'm 43, and I wake up, and man, I'm like, what happened in the middle of the night? Did I, like, run a race or get in a fight? Like, what is going on with my body? But look, you don't have to wake up and tell your DNA what to do. It just does it. The microscopic you never takes a break. Never takes a day off. There's this incredible amount of staggering engineering that's going on, timing and coordination, all created by God so that you can have life. Look, the telescope last week reveals God's greatness, but the microscope today reveals his genius. And your body, if you think about it, what's going on inside of your body is the literal fingerprint of God. It's the evidence that there is a God who created everything and loves you. Romans chapter 11, verse 33 says, "Oh, how great are God's riches and wisdom and knowledge. How impossible it is for us to understand his decisions and his ways. For who can know the Lord's thoughts? Who knows enough to give him advice?" The answer is no one. And we look at what God has done. It is so easy to see just how wonderfully you and I are made. But look, sometimes we don't feel like it, do we? Sometimes we don't feel like we're wonderfully made. We hurt. Our bodies slow down. And I hate to say this, your body is actually just slowly dying, okay? That's what's going on right now. And the reason it's doing that is because of sin in our lives. Romans chapter 5, verse 12 says this, "When Adam sinned, sin entered the world. Adam's sin brought death, so death spread to everyone, for everyone sinned." Thanks a lot, Adam, right? and Eve too, by the way, ladies, okay? She was a part of that too. But we inherited this sin nature. We inherited a sinful world. Yes, we're wonderfully made, but sin has fractured creation. You and I were, in the beginning, designed and created to live forever, and our body was not supposed to break down. But sin and the sinful world that we live in makes our bodies slowly fade away. But look, here's the good news. Jesus came to fix that. Jesus came to what we call redeem that. He came to redeem what is broken. A couple weeks ago, we talked about that, how he's going to make our bodies new again someday when he returns. But look, not only our bodies, he has come to fix and redeem our sin nature. He's come to fix and redeem our souls. The one who designed every single cell in your body knows also every single corner of your soul. He knows you. He knows you intimately. He knows your hidden anxiety that you have. He knows your fears that you've never told anybody about. He knows the silent wounds that are that's a silent reminder every single day of what has happened to you. He knows those things. He sees your loneliness. He sees your grief, and he understands. He hears every single prayer that you pray in silence, even the ones that you never utter. He knows you that well. Look, the God of the details isn't distant from you. He's not off in outer space, just letting you live your life and not caring about what's going on. Look, he knows you intimately, and he's nearby. In fact, he's been right by your side since the very beginning. How do I know that? It's exactly what David says in the very next two verses. Look back at Psalm 139. Here's what he says. You watched me as I was being formed in utter seclusion, as I was woven together in the dark of the womb. You saw me before I was born. Every day of my life was recorded in your book, and every moment was laid out before a single day had passed. Now, back in biblical times, they used to think of the womb, and they called it the hidden place. And that makes sense. I mean, back then, science was rudimentary, and the understanding of what was going on in the development of a human being, it was just a dark place. They didn't know what was going on. Well, today, we have the privilege of knowing some incredible things. Today, we have things called 4D ultrasounds, okay, where not only can you see your baby's face, you can see it move. It's pretty incredible. Today, the advancement, what we know about what's going on in the human body is so amazing that even grandparents have pictures of their grandkids on their Facebook profile before the kids are even born, okay? We get to see some incredible things. You get to know what your kid is going to look like. And inside the womb, it says that you and I are woven together. What that means is literally in the Hebrew, to be knit together or embroidered. In fact, it's a really cool word to think about because there's only other time that this is used in the entire Bible is if you go all the way back to Exodus. It's used 8 different times in the book of Exodus to describe the linen in the tabernacle, a place of worship of God. So what it's talking about is that that material isn't cheap. This isn't like Faded Glory, like Walmart brand stuff, okay? This is the most expensive material in the world. And your body is compared to that, is compared to the tabernacle. Let me just show you just how intricately God has woven you and knit you together. Here on the screen is an actual video sped up over 16 hours of an embryo's spinal cord and nerves being developed. Pretty amazing. Every single one of us in this room, that has happened before you were even born. Like if we could actually see all that was going on in human development, no one will be able to say that there is no God. And every one of us would be able to say he truly is the God of detail and creation. And that nervous system right there, what it does is it continues to develop and you have your brain and you're growing up and you're living life. And as an adult, you feel like you've arrived and you know everything. Teenagers think they know everything. Like it's still happening. You're still developing. But you think you know everything. And so what scientists did just recently is they took a little piece of a human brain, of an adult human brain. They took it the size of a grain of rice. And they said, we're going to study this and see what's going on inside of it. And they realized it's going to take too long to study just that little tiny piece. So they cut it in half and said, we're going to study a half size, half a piece of a grain of rice. It's 1/1,000,000th of the size of the human brain. And what they did is they spent years mapping it. And what they found is structures that they have no idea what the function is, the things that are going on that we cannot explain. And what we realized is that inside that tiny little half a grain piece of the brain is 1.4 million gigabytes of data. It's a lot. And there's 150 million different connections that are going on in that tiny little piece. If we were to map your entire brain, it would take the largest AI data center in the world to be able to do it. Yet, the cool thing is that it runs on the same power is required to power a dim light bulb. I don't know what that says about some of y'all, okay? but look, that brain you have is a miracle. It lets you think, lets you feel, lets you remember and create and dream dreams. Let you recognize faces and learn different languages and solve problems and love people, which is crazy. And the biggest thing that your brain allows you to do is to actually worship God. Look, the microscope is doing the same thing that the telescope does, which is to reveal God's glory. Just how incredibly complex creation is. Romans chapter 11, here's what Romans chapter 11 says. In verse 36, it says, for everything comes from him and exists by his power, and get this, is intended for his glory. Everything that's been created, all that God has done, is designed to bring him glory. All glory to him forever. Amen. What that means for you and I is that you and I, we didn't realize this, you are a walking billboard of God's glory. You have a purpose. You're not an accident. No matter what people have said about you, you are not a meaningless clump of cells. I hope you realize that this morning. David recognized that. And that's why David could go on in this worshipful moment and say the next two verses. Look what he says in verse 17 and 18. He said, how precious are your thoughts about me, O God? They cannot be numbered. I can't even count them. They outnumber the grains of sand. Remember last week we talked about the number of grains of sand on the earth and the stars? He's talking about just it's without number the amount of times that God has thought about you. He says, when I wake up, you are still with me. Now, a lot of commentators actually believe what he's talking about here is that he is contemplating this and it makes his brain hurt to the point where he passes out. And then when he wakes back up, he's like, oh, God's still there. He hadn't gone. He hadn't left. He is still with me. Just how incredible God is. David, what happened is when he looked at this hidden part of our bodies, the design of a human body, he didn't end in like science class. What he ended in is worship. Because eventually the awe that is created through the telescope and the microscope has to lead somewhere. And perhaps maybe that's the invitation for today, for us to go, okay, what do I do with this information? Maybe it's for us to maybe stop seeing ourselves as just being random, unnoticed, maybe forgotten. To stop seeing ourselves that way, instead to see ourselves the way that God sees us. You may look in the mirror and not like what you see, but when God sees you, you know what he says? The scriptures say this. He says, that's my masterpiece. That's my masterpiece. What that teaches us is that you're wonderfully made, you are deeply known, and you're fully loved. Yet some of us, we can't stop criticizing ourselves. We don't like who we are. We don't like our appearance. We don't like our abilities or our lack of abilities. And we find little worth in ourselves. And we can be our biggest critics, right? I mean, the person that is most critical of me is me. And I think all of us would probably say the same thing. Yet God looks at us and says, you are my masterpiece. And when we look beneath our skin, what we find is God's fingerprint. is the evidence of creation and what God has done for you. And look, this evidence is overwhelming. But I'll say this, even in front of you, this kind of evidence, it won't save you. When you put this evidence, when you think about all this stuff in the sky and microscope and everything on the screen, it sounds really cool and great. But look, that evidence, that's not going to save you. Science won't save you, okay? Understanding won't save you. The only thing that'll save you is faith in Jesus. In fact, Peter, in Acts chapter 16, he was preaching the gospel, and he wasn't having science class saying, okay, now you need to believe. What he was saying is, he was just telling them about sin and their need for a Savior and what Jesus did to die on the cross to pay for their sins. And the people there said, what do we need to do to be saved? And he said, here's what you got to do. Believe. Just believe. Believe in Jesus, and you'll be saved. I think for a lot of us, what we got to do is, it's great to look up in the sky and look down, but honestly, we need to take this, maybe just flip it over, and look at our, I almost broke it. We need to flip that over and take a look at ourselves a little bit. In fact, that's exactly what David does. David, in the middle of this understanding of just how intricately he was made and what God has done in this worship moment, then he came to the end of himself. In fact, it's at the end of Psalm 139. Look back in the scripture. Here's what he says. He says, search me, O God, and know my heart. Test me and know my anxious thoughts. God, when I doubt your goodness, some of us have doubted God's goodness. God, when I doubt your love for me, many of us, we're like, God can't love me. If he knows what I've done, he knows my heart. If he searched my heart, I don't want him to search my heart. I'm afraid of what he might find. We doubt God's goodness. We doubt his love. We doubt our worth. Some of us, if we ask God to search our hearts, what we find is us trying to earn our way to him. Purpose of your life. I want to be good enough. I want to earn God's approval and his acceptance. Instead of just trusting in him, we need to ask God, search my heart. Do I have unbelief? Am I failing to recognize who you are, just how big you are, and how incredibly intricate you are as a creator, and how much you love me? Have I failed to realize that? Look, the heavens and the hidden are both declaring, look, you need to believe in God because he's real and he loves you. I don't know who needs to hear that this morning. Some of us have been trying to earn our way for too long, and we need to put our faith and our trust in a God who's done all the work. As we said, when we took the Lord's Supper, Jesus died to pay for your sins. You didn't earn it. It's nothing you can earn. It's all because of what he's done. And so he says, here's what you have to do to be saved. Believe in me. Trust in me. You got to do that. I think some of us in this room, you're like, hey, I've done that, Clayton, but I'm just really not sure how to take this information. What am I supposed to do with it? I think this information, at least for me and maybe for you, needs to help us to actually say, I need to live for him all the days of my life, especially today. Because of who he is and what he has done for me. He has made me with a purpose, and I need to go tell people about him. I think it also can be an opportunity for every single one of us to realize the value of other people. Sometimes we don't realize the value that other people have. Maybe we're like, hey, I'm important. I have value for myself. But that person, nah, they're dead to me. God created them the same as he created you. And he loves them just the same. We ought to love people the same way. I pray that we take this information from the universe and also what's hidden inside of us and realize that there's a God who loves us, created us, and wants us to live for him. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, you're the great creator, sustainer, and savior. I pray, God, for anyone in this room, anyone watching online who's never put their faith and trust in you and been trying to earn it, I pray, God, that they would lay that aside and repent of their sins of trying to be good enough. They'll never be able to pay that price. But you did it. You did all the work. You just ask us to repent and turn to you and believe in you. So maybe today is the day of what we call salvation, of our souls being saved and washed clean by Jesus' shed blood, the price for our sins. May they trust in you and go and tell somebody about it and begin to live for you every single day of their life, knowing they have great worth and value and you save them for all of eternity. I pray, God, for us in this room, myself, who are, we say we're walking with Christ, we say we're saved. Yeah, a lot of times we don't see just how much God loves us. We don't see our worth. We're really hard on ourselves. We criticize ourselves. We think we're not worthy. We think we can't be used by God. The truth is we aren't worthy. But the blood of Christ shows just how much you do love us, how much value we have. And you call us to live for you. So I pray, God, that today we can do that. Begin to live for the God who made it all. That we would be walking billboards of your glory and recognize the opportunity in front of us to tell people about Jesus, to live for you every single day. So God, that you can get the glory in our lives. Help us, Lord, to walk out of this place a little bit different, understanding just how amazing you are. We pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen.